The entrance of the Lord's word give light. They give understanding to the simple. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. O Lord, forgive us our trespasses. Amen.
Now we'll say together our recitation that we said last night from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. And if it be evil in your eyes to serve Jehovah, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were across the river, or the gods of the Amorite, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Amen. Please be seated. So children, we read yesterday up on Sunset Hill something about how the Lord always tries to lead us in freedom, and we talked about the fact that the Lord is never going to try and drag you into heaven if you don't want to be there. So freedom is very important to the Lord. But do you think that you're free if you're in prison? Can you be free in prison? I want you to think about that question, because we're going to read a story today about some men who were threatened with prison. They were in captivity, and they were even threatened with death. And the amazing thing is they still had freedom. This is a story you probably know pretty well. This is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were slaves, or servants, not slaves, over in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar made a big proclamation that he had set up this huge image, and that any time somebody heard the sound of music, they were to fall down and worship that image. What would you have done if you were faced with that choice? Would you have ignored King Nebuchadnezzar? Listen to what these men did. They did ignore him. And then King Nebuchadnezzar found out. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not fall down and worship the image which I have made, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, the king's command was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, that the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the burning fiery furnace?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Amen. So this is a wonderful story where these men were prisoners. They were in captivity, and they seemed to be in a very dicey position where the king had commanded them to fall down and worship this statue. Now, why do you think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not fall down and worship this statue? Not supposed to worship idols. Does anybody know which commandment that is? 8th is a good guess. You shall not worship other gods. It's a very important one in the list of the commandments. Older people, back there. First one, first commandment. You shall have no other gods before my face. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that. And so when King Nebuchadnezzar said, "You have to fall down and worship that, or you're going to die, you're going to be cast into a burning fiery furnace," you might have thought they really didn't have a choice, because the price they were going to pay was death. They didn't even think about it. They said, "We don't even have to answer you, O king." They said, "Because we believe our God will save us." They believed that if they did the right thing, that their God could deliver them and save them. But here's the neat thing. They said, "And if not," so even if our God does not save us, "we still will not fall down and worship that golden image." They were going to do it because they knew what the truth was, and they were going to do what was right, and that was going to be enough for them. And we know the wonderful end of the story is that they do get thrown into the burning fiery furnace, and the Lord does rescue them, and they are saved. Wonderful lesson about following the truth of the Lord, and the fact that it eventually does always save us and lead us to freedom. And sometimes in our lives, it doesn't feel like the truth actually can save us. Think about a situation where maybe you're out on the playground and somebody's being a bully and everybody's getting in on the act, and somebody is over there feeling very hurt and very sad. And you know that the right thing to do, the true thing to do, would be to speak up for the person who is being hurt and say, "You know, those things that you're saying aren't kind. They're hurtful. You're being mean." Maybe say something like that. But we know that if we speak the truth, maybe this whole group over here is going to get really upset with us, and suddenly we're going to be the outcast. And so sometimes we think, well, the truth really is dangerous. we speak the truth, it's going to hurt. But this story is here to tell us that any time that we speak the truth and we do what is right, eventually the Lord is going to bring about true freedom and true salvation. He will help us. Think about another time when maybe truth seems like it wouldn't be helpful. Maybe you've done something that is wrong. Maybe you have taken something you shouldn't have taken. Maybe you've disobeyed your parents when they asked you to do something and you didn't do it. And then your parents challenge you and they say, "Did you do such and such when I told you not to do it?" And what do we sometimes think the best thing to do would be to get out of that situation? Sometimes we think, what's that? To say no, to lie and say, "No, that wasn't me," because lying in that moment might seem like the way to get out of trouble. But if you speak the truth, yes, you might get a consequence, but in the long run, the truth will always set you free. And that's what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego saw, was that no matter what happened, even with the threat of death, that the right thing to do was to speak the truth and trust that the Lord would save them. And the Lord did. We're going to close our service by reading another short passage where the Lord talks about truth setting us free, and also the opposite, which is the fact that if we aren't truthful, that if we live against the Lord's commandments and we sin, that is what actually leads to all slavery. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen, amen, I say to you that everyone doing sin is the servant of sin." So very powerful words the Lord gives us about how important it is to follow the truth, do what the Lord says, speak the truth when we need to, and trust that that will lead to true freedom, and not just for us, but for other people as well. Because if we allow other people to live in sin and become servants of sin, that's how the hells will lead them into bondage and slavery. And nobody is happy in slavery. So our final reading comes from the work True Christian Religion, and it talks about true freedom, which comes from the Lord and his truth, versus hellish freedom. All the freedom that comes from the Lord is true freedom. The freedom in us that comes from hell is slavery. To someone in hellish freedom, however, spiritual freedom inevitably looks like slavery, because the two are opposites. Nevertheless, all people who are in spiritual freedom know and even sense that hellish freedom is slavery. To angels, that freedom, hellish freedom, is therefore as repulsive as the stench of a corpse, but hellish spirits breathe it in like an intoxicating perfume. See, one of the things that the hells try to trick us into believing is that freedom is just being able to do whatever you want, whenever you want. And they try to trick us into thinking that's what freedom is all about. But the heavenly freedom the Lord wants us to believe in is the belief that if we live and believe the truth that the Lord teaches us, that he will be able to save us and lead us into heavenly freedom, which is the source of true joy and happiness. Amen. Please rise and bow your heads for the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.